Hebrews chapter number 6 this morning. We'll read responsively verses 9 through verse number 12. I'll read verse number 9 and you'll join me on verse number 10. We'll do that through verse number 12. Hebrews chapter number 6. Hebrews chapter number 6, beginning in verse number 9. Hebrews chapter 6, the Bible says in verse number 9, "But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints, and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence in full assurance of hope unto the end, that we be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much already for Sunday school, Lord, and the wonderful lessons from the life of Joseph. Lord, we thank you for the word of God in our life. Lord, thank you for a place where we can come, Lord, not where we hear man's opinion, but Lord, we hear directly from the word of God. Lord, please, we'll ask that you speak to our hearts this morning. There's many hurting, many that have burdens, many that are unsure about what the future holds. But this morning, as we hear the word of God preached, may we yield to the Holy Spirit's power. Would you fill our pastor with that same Holy Spirit as he preaches? We'll ask that you do what we cannot do and speak to our hearts. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen. You may be.
Listen to me very carefully. Keep your Bible open there to Hebrews chapter 6. Verse number 11 says, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence," watch this statement, "to the full assurance of hope unto the end." We people today live very unstable lives. The news media is casting doom and gloom and doubt about everything from the world being destroyed by climate change to all the political incorrectness, and the world is in turmoil over viruses and this war and threat of war and this bombing and that bombing and violence. People live in fear of their health, their jobs, their wealth, their freedoms, and their security. People really don't know what to believe anymore. It's sad I must make this statement, but I will make it. People really don't believe anything anymore. People seem to believe whatever the officials and the media tell them, but even the officials and the media don't agree with what they say about themselves. Coffee's bad for you. Coffee's good for you. Coffee's bad for you. Coffee's good for you. Oh, we're going to die from the world burning up. Do you remember about 20 years ago they talked about the impending ice age? They can't even agree on their own quote-unquote sciences. So people do not live by truth and principles anymore. They live by what benefits the person in power most. No wonder people don't know what to believe. God tells us here in Hebrews chapter 6 that we can have the full assurance of hope. Boy, that's a powerful statement. Not only that, he says, we can have the full assurance of hope unto the end. That's pretty good to know, isn't it? Wouldn't you like to have hope all the way to the end? Say, preacher, you don't ever get down. I can't tell you I never visit it, but I don't stay there. It's only a launching point to bounce back up. Amen. I don't get depressed. I don't live in depression. I don't live in fear and doom. I can't tell you I never have those occasions where it comes my way, but I don't live there. That does not sound like you have to live in gloom and doom if you can have the full assurance of hope. If you have the full assurance of hope, you won't live in depression. This doesn't sound like this wishy-washy, fearful, panic-stricken, unsettled world in which we live. Oh, there's no hope. We're not going to have drinking water. We need Bill Gates to send a rocket ship up with chalk dust and cover the sun so we don't burn up. He's an idiot. Folks, Never mind. That's another sermon. And yet people will believe it. Just so you know. Don't forget, God does not tell us to do anything he has not given us the ability to do. You know, God never commands man to do anything he did not give us the ability to do. When God says, love your enemies, he has given you the ability to love your enemy. We don't practice it, but God's given us the ability to. When God says you can have the full assurance of hope, can I tell you something? You can have it. It is just as sure as God said it. Now, what does this term full assurance mean? The term literally means to possess fully, to be filled completely, to completely be under the influence of. God says that you can be totally full of hope, filled completely to capacity, and you can be under the influence of hope. God said you can live your life with the full assurance of hope. In other words, full assurance means that there's not room for anything opposing when it comes. Can I tell you something? You're looking at a crazy Baptist preacher. Can I tell you why? I don't let anything affect me. It was raining last night. Guess what? Sun came up this morning. Amen. But if it was cloudy outside, we're still going to have the sun, S-O-N, shine inside today. Say, you just live in a positive world, preacher. No, I live with the negative every moment of my life. But I have hope. I live with the full assurance of hope. I live with the full assurance of hope that, hey, Jesus is coming back someday and we're going to see him. And if not, when I take my last breath, as my mama did back in December, I had the full assurance of hope when she took her last breath here, she took her first breath in heaven. I know it. I've talked to her about it, not since she died, just so you know. Said a long time ago, I'll do your funeral, but if you get up out of that casket, this boy's leaving, you find somebody else. If you so much as move in that box, I'm leaving, all right? And I've done hundreds and hundreds of funerals. But may I say something? I have the full assurance of hope where my mama's at today in heaven. Miss Wally, I have full assurance of hope where Brother Fred is today. I remember sitting in the living room after he almost died three times because he's stubborn as a mule. I remember that man bowing his head and trusting Jesus Christ as his Savior. Hey, when Brother Fred took his last breath, I knew where he was at. I had full assurance of that. I was with him just moments before. He was struggling a little. He said, I need help, I need help. And I put my hand on his shoulder. I said, Fred, this is a preacher. And he calmed right down. I said, Fred, you're pretty close to taking your journey to heaven. I said, it's not going to be long. How about you just sit back and let the Lord take you from here? I left the hospice, drove here to the church all of, 2.5 minutes, walked through the door, and hadn't been in the door 2 minutes before they called and said Fred had passed. I was with him just as he was getting ready to take his journey. I just had to calm him down and tell him quit being so stubborn and let him go. He was fighting it to the end. But he really wasn't fighting. He just didn't know what to do, but he heard my voice. He said, okay, preacher said, relax, I'll relax. And boom, he woke up in heaven. Amen. And I'm sure he was tinkering with something as soon as he got there. Amen. Now, wait a minute. You can live with the full assurance that hope is there. See, well, preacher, I've just lost my hope. Well, it's time to find it today. God tells us three times in scriptures he uses the statement full assurance. There are three times in scripture that God uses this very statement, full assurance. And I want to talk to you today and show you what those three things are, first of which is full assurance of hope. God says in Hebrews 6:11 that we can have the full assurance of hope unto the end. Hey, say, what is hope? Well, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 13, God says there's faith, hope, and charity. The greatest of these is charity. Now, wait a minute. God puts a list together, and he said there's faith, there's hope, and there's charity or love. And God said the greatest of these is charity. That means the second one is hope, and the third one is faith. We talk about how important faith is. Well, of the three most important things, God says, love, hope, come before faith. Hope is a pretty important thing. Take your Bible, turn to Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to show you two verses here. Colossians chapter 1. We're going to look at verse number 27. The Bible says this: to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Can I tell you something? The Bible says that if you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have the hope of glory.
Amen.
You have Christ in you.
Right.
The hope of glory. No wonder the world's all weirded out. They don't have Christ. They don't have the truth. When you don't have the truth, it's kind of like aiming at nothing. You're going to hit it. But there's no security. There's no stability. That's why the world will believe such weird things. Folks, I'm not intending to throw rocks at anybody, but if you hit the dog that yelps is the one you hit, amen? These people don't even know what bathroom to use. Well, even barnyard animals have more sense than most people.
Yeah.
Two bulls know what two bulls are.
Right.
And two cows know what two cows are.
Yeah.
Somebody sent me something. One of these liberals was all upset that cows' names were all named after women. And it's a sexist thing that they name all cows after women. Well, you can milk all the bulls you want, but I am not doing it. People are that stupid, by the way. Just so you know. You know, folks, when you were born, it didn't say to be determined. You're plumbed one way or the other, all right? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. Say, well, I don't think you ought to talk that way, preacher. Well, if more preachers would, we wouldn't be in the shape in America we are in today.
Amen.
Hate to tell you that. I don't blame the White House. I blame the church house.
Amen.
I don't blame the president. I blame preachers who got lace on their underwear afraid to preach the truth.
Amen.
God says that when you have Christ in you, it is the hope of glory. Look around. This is a pretty happy place.
Amen.
It's a pretty exciting place. Can I tell you why? We all have hope. The church house ought not be another funeral home.
Amen.
Folks, I don't like funerals, but it's part of my life. There's nothing more revolting to me than most funeral homes. You know, they got the weird lights in there. They got all the, you know, there's so much flower smell that it just almost overpowers you. Now, fortunately, when I had COVID back in November, I still can't smell or taste, so it doesn't bother me anymore. But 6 months almost with no smell or taste. But can I tell you something? Funeral homes are not happy places. Why do most churches feel like a funeral home? They're dark. Or they go the other way and you have a rock concert and you got all the guitars and drum sets and you got all the light shows and the smoke machines, and it's like going to watch a Van Halen concert or something. At least that's what Brother Steve said. I've never been to one. I had to ask him what the name was. But can I tell you something? Church ought to be the house of God, not the house of man.
Amen.
This is God's house. I don't find places in Scripture where God, where he's at, that it's all a funeral. When I just started preaching, I've been preaching for 40 years. When I was 13, I started preaching. Well, when I got out of college, I had to go preach a funeral. Man, I'm 22, 23 years old. I'm going to get ready for my first funeral. My youth director always told me, if you don't know what to do, preach what Jesus would preach. Do you know, I looked through the entire New Testament, every funeral Jesus went to, the guy got up and walked away. I thought, stink. I called my old youth pastor. He was pastoring then in Illinois. I said, Brother Keith, that's not funny. He starts laughing. He said, ha, 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 now you got to study. I said, that's not funny. Everything that I worked for the last 9 years doesn't work now. And he gave me a little advice, and on we went. And can I tell you something? We have the hope of glory.
Yes, sir.
When you get saved, something happens. Something happens. Hope is not power of positive thinking or expecting because you just believe something.
Right.
You can positively think that if I drop my keys, that they're going to suspend themselves in the air. I don't care how much you think they're not going to fall. Gravity is going to dictate that they fall. Because the law of gravity is stronger than the law of your brain.
Amen.
The power of gravity is something God put into place so you don't fling off this globe.
Right.
And that everything doesn't go, all right? Now, can I tell you something? That law will not change no matter how much you think about it. If the police officer stops you because you were doing 85 miles an hour on 81 and the speed limit 70, guess what? You can say, well, I didn't think I was going that fast. You can power a positive think all you want, but you're going to get a little pink slip. Amen. And the last one I got was 31 and a half years ago on the way to my wedding. I haven't gotten one since. Amen. I learned my lesson, and I was not late for my wedding either. Hope is not this false power of positive thinking. Hope is full assurance that God in his word will do what he said he would do.
Amen.
Did you know I believe what God said over what man says any day?
Amen.
You know, I believe what God says over what scientists say.
Amen.
Any day. You know, I believe what God said over what anybody says. Let God be true and every man a liar.
Amen.
How many of you have ever told a lie in your life? Raise your hand. Okay, if you don't have your hand up, you just told your first one. Thank you. Let God be true and every man a liar. Guess what? We've all lied. We're all fallible. We're all sinful. We all make mistakes. So why do we want to put our trust in man and not God?
Amen.
No wonder this world has no hope. Their hope is in man and not in God. We have the full assurance that God will do what he said he would do. And he says in his word, we can have hope. Let me read some verses to you in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5, verse number 1, the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, that means you've trusted Christ, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Wow. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. Can I tell you something? I don't care what problem you go through, you can still have the hope that God gives us. My mama died on a Wednesday. I preached. Getting ready for a funeral for Friday. I did a funeral service on Friday. I preached all day Sunday. I preached my mom's funeral on Monday. And Mrs. Diener's husband passed away within a couple hours of my mama, and we did his memorial service on Tuesday. I preached Wednesday night church. I didn't miss a time to preach because my mama passed away. You say, why? She'd have slapped me. Dad, you've heard her say it. Don't you miss church. Don't you miss preaching if I die. I'll be fine. I know where I'm going. I didn't miss it. Oh, I didn't say it was easy, but I didn't miss it. I didn't come to this pulpit and say, you all pray for me. It's just so hard. Oh, woe is me. No, I came here and gave you hope. God worked through me to give hope and breathe life into each and every person in this room. We had people saved. We had lives changed. Hey, that's enough to make you want to charge hell with an unloaded squirt gun. Can I tell you something? I didn't lose hope because my mama's body died. If you read that booklet, you find out something I said. She actually just found life. She passed from death to life, not from life to death. This is a measure of death. Heaven in eternity is life. Hey, Mom prayed for me every time I preached for almost or over 40 years. But can I tell you something? First time I preached, I thought, man, this is the first time I'm preaching. My mom is not praying for me. And I was standing back in my office, and the Lord hit me with something. He said, what do you mean she's not praying? She'd look at me eyeball to eyeball. Okay, time to hit it. Time to hit it. Say, preacher, didn't you cry? There are times I've cried. I drove by the cemetery this morning and saw where my mama was at. Had a little tear for a moment. I said, but Mama, I'm going to church. I'm going to preach. I'm going to miss seeing your wheelchair right back there in the back row. But you don't need your wheelchair anymore. You're standing up and walking. Whew. By the time I got here, I was ready. It was before 5 o'clock this morning I've been here. Having a time of my life. Can I tell you why? I got hope. All those things are what give you hope. If you didn't have the opposition, you couldn't be full of hope. You have to have the opposition to have that hope. Say, preacher, I thought it's just not fair. Good people have bad things happen. Good people are sinners too. We face the consequences of our sin, but if you trust Jesus Christ, you never face judgment for your sin. Oh, God didn't say if you get saved, all your problems go away. That's a false prophet.
Right.
Whoever said that did not read the Bible.
Amen.
Jesus never sinned one time and they killed him.
Yep.
Falsely accused him. Chased him down trying to kill him many times that they didn't catch him. Everybody doing all right? If the Son of God couldn't get out without it, what makes you think you can?
That's right.
So, we can have full assurance of hope that whatever God says, he will do. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Let me read this verse to you. There's so many verses I have written down that I'm not even going to turn to because we don't have time. Titus chapter 2. You know what? If I look at where I was to start with, I'd be able to find it in the Bible. Titus chapter 2, verse number 13. The Bible says this, looking for that blessed hope. And the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something? Jesus said someday he's coming back in the clouds. And those that are saved are going up with him. It's called the rapture. I have the hope that Jesus is coming back. I said this at my mom's graveside. I've said it at a few recently. The cemetery is, we purchased some resurrection ground there for the saved. That's not a place where you just bury somebody and they stay there forever. Because when Jesus comes back, the Bible says that the dead in Christ will rise first. The graves will be opened and the dead in Christ will rise first.
Praise God.
Dad, we didn't buy a cemetery plot. We bought some resurrection ground. And by the way, the same God that prophesied that Jesus would come in Bethlehem's manger is the same God that said he's coming back for us someday. He kept his promise the first time. Why wouldn't he keep it the second time?
Right.
So we have that full assurance that someday Jesus is coming. Number two, God says that we can have full assurance of faith. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Oh, I'm about to shout. Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse number 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and from our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Can I tell you something? Everybody look at me. I want you to look. I want you to listen. You never have to wonder if you're going to die and go to heaven. If you realized you were a sinner, if you realized that there was a penalty on sin, which is death and hell, and that Jesus came and paid that sin penalty for you, and all you have to do is trust Jesus Christ and what he did to take your sin away, guess what? According to the scripture, you're saved.
Amen.
The moment You get saved. John chapter 3 says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. The moment you trust Christ as Savior, the Bible uses a term called regeneration. It's where we get the word genetics. God actually puts his genetics in you spiritually because your body wasn't dead. Your soul is not dead. Your soul is that which communicates with other man. It's your spirit that is dead, and it's been born again by the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? I'll be 54 years old next month. I can't be unborn from my mom and dad. And the moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can't be unborn from him. You say, well, I've sinned since I got saved. Yes, and it's under the blood of Jesus Christ. He imputes his righteousness to you, and you'll never face judgment for it. You may face the consequences of it here, but you're never going to face judgment for it because it's under the blood of Jesus Christ. You're his child, and it doesn't matter. It's been placed under the blood. Jesus paid for your sin, past, present, and future. Thank God. Thank God, and you can have the full assurance of your faith. God says that the profession of your faith will bring that full assurance of your faith. Can I tell you something? Somebody called me early one morning this week, about 5:15 one morning. They said, I haven't slept all night. I'm not sure I'm saved. They live out of state. And I said, well, when did you get saved? Well, I was 12 years old. And I said, okay, what did you do to get saved? Did you realize you were a sinner? Yes. Did you realize that there's a penalty on sin? Yes. Did you realize that Jesus paid that price? Yes. Did you trust him to take you to heaven? Yeah, but I'm not sure I did it with all of my heart. Said the Bible doesn't say anything about that. Show me in the Bible where it says how much you have to trust.
Right.
It's 100%. You say, well, you have to turn from your sin. Oh, no, 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 no. The word repent doesn't mean turn from sin. The word repent means you went from trusting your own righteousness and submit to the righteousness of God.
Amen.
Romans chapter 10, verse number 3. Amen. For they going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. The moment you go from trusting what you do, your salvation, your good works, your baptism, your church membership, the things that you do, to trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're saved.
Amen.
You're on your way. He won't take it back. Nah, 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 nah. I flew to Maine a couple weeks ago. Guess what? There were people that were going to Maine that were staying in Maine. There were other people getting off that plane going somewhere else. We all bought a ticket, and as soon as we took off, guess where we were headed? Portland, Maine, where they talk funny. That's where they park the car and they do yard. Weird people talking up there. They don't even know what y'all means. You ask them about grits and they just look at you. What's that? Just lobster. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? We were all going to Portland, Maine. Like it or lump it, the price had been paid. You already had a ticket. You got on the plane. Guess what? Whether you wanted to go there or not, you're going there. When you get saved, ticket's already paid for, it's already purchased, and you're going. You can't take it back. I wasn't going to step off the plane at 38,000 feet. Mm-mm. Mama didn't raise two fools, just my brother. I'm not going to do that. If I got a parachute, that's one thing, but even at that high, I'm not going to think about it, all right? You know, it's not the falling that'll kill you. It's a sudden stop at the bottom. Although falling from that far, you might die of a heart attack. Trust me. Can I tell you something? Full assurance of our faith. By the way, according to Hebrews chapter 1, faith and hope are related. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Notice that God says hope and faith work together. How do you get full assurance of faith? By having the hope that Jesus said he would do what he did.
Right.
And God gives us our faith based off what Jesus did do. 1 Corinthians 13. Faith, hope, charity. They're related. God says that faith and hope go together. 1 Peter chapter 1. Hebrews, James, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 21. The Bible says this. As soon as I get there, there we go. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Folks, I'd rather have my faith in God.
Amen.
I'd rather have my hope in God, not in man.
Right. Yes, sir.
In millions of years gone by, dirt didn't come together and then have a big explosion and we have the Milky Way, and only one of the bodies of explosion hit the exact spot where it's supposed to be and turned for millions of years, cooled, condensed. It's the only one that has water on it.
Right.
And then millions of years later, a single cell amoeba came about. They don't even know where it came about. And it got tired of being by itself and it decided it was going to split and become two. And then it split into four, and then they decided to come together, and it swam for millions of years, and then it decided it needed to poke its head up and saw dry ground, so it grew legs on its own, came up on the ground, and it decided it got tired of crawling around on all fours, so he lost his tail and stood up, and climbed in the trees, and now it teaches in the university. That's how stupid the world's philosophies are. In the beginning, God created. I have more hope and faith in God than I do an amoeba. I've got more faith in God than an explosion. Everybody doing okay? I'm having too much fun right now. Now, wait a minute. We can have full assurance about our faith being right when it's founded in the Word of God. Can I tell you why people aren't real secure with their faith? Because they don't know what they believe. If you believe you get to heaven by your own good works, well, hopefully my good outweighs the bad. Uh-oh. No wonder you don't have hope and faith. No wonder. Because you're a sinner, and you'd have to be as righteous as Jesus Christ. And the Bible says we all fall short of that. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, including the guy talking to you today. But I remember as a 4-year-old boy in a primary church, Canton, Ohio, a man named Jim Humphreys got up to preach. He was a one-legged Vietnam vet. The war was still going on, and he got his leg shot off, and he literally had one of those wood peg legs. They hadn't gotten him a prosthetic yet. Remember Mr. Humphrey's dad? He had that wooden stick. He got up and preached on hell one day to a couple hundred primary age kids. Whew. Brother Steve, this old boy realized he didn't want to go there. I walked over to my Sunday school teacher and tugged on her skirt and said, I don't want to go to that place. And we knelt down at a little kindergartner-sized type chair. And she opened the Bible and showed me that I was a sinner. Because I was a sinner, I deserved hell, but Jesus came and paid my sin debt. All I had to do was trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. That was in 50 years ago, almost 49 years ago. Do you know something? I've been saved ever since.
Amen.
Now, I've sinned since then. Just ask my wife. Trust me, I have sinned a heap since then. I didn't lose my salvation, and I've had to pay the consequences of sin. But I haven't lost my salvation. So, well, you didn't get saved out of a dirty, nasty life. Brother Mike Schenenberger talks about putting a Budweiser beer can down at 27 years old and an old commode hugging drunk and trusting Jesus Christ as a Savior. Now he drives a Sunday school bus, working in junior church, teaching adult Sunday school. That's what God can do with somebody. But I didn't have that past. But I still got just as saved as Mike Schenenberger did. I got just as saved as Brother Steve Snow. Boy, you talk about a guy with a past. With a face like that, it's a long past, all right? Can I tell you something? Look at how good God is. I have the same hope. You don't have to doubt being saved. If you, by the way, that person that called me at 5-something in the morning, I said, did you do those things? Yes. I said, then according to God, are you saved? Yes, sir. I said, what? Go back to sleep. I said, you're fine. Oh, I could have got him to say a prayer. Could have said, oh, I got another one. No, not for me to decide. God does. They just needed full assurance of their faith. And when your faith is in the word of God, not the word of man, guess what? You can have full assurance. Man will lie to you. God will not. When hope was gone that my mom would live, my faith kicked in. That Wednesday morning when I called the doctor and said it's time to take her off the ventilator. Hope was gone that she would live here. But my faith kicked in that she's going to be alive real soon. At 9:20, the nurse called me and she said, Pastor, I'm calling to let you know your mama just went to heaven. She said, I knew she was a pastor's son. She said, I don't sing real well, but I started singing her the hymns, and I started laughing, almost uncontrolled. And I said, ma'am, you have never heard me sing. I said, but I promise you this, my mama went with a smile on her face. She said, how'd you know? I said, because my mama loved singing, and my mama knew where she was going. She said, well, I started singing Amazing Grace, and before I got to the end of the chorus, she was there. I said, yep. Smiling the whole way. I said, hope may have been gone that she would be here, but my hope is strong. I know where she is. Faith kicked in, and everything was okay. So when hope is gone, faith kicks in. Amen? We have the hope of heaven. We have the assurity of it. And by the way, since being saved is what Jesus did for us and not what we do, it's just as sure as sunrise. It's just as sure as sunset. Because salvation, being saved, isn't about what we do. It's about what he did. All we have to do is accept it. See, that's what gives you full assurance of faith. God does not lie, so he'll do what he said he would do. He's not going to let you wonder if you got it or if you don't.
Right.
Whether you had it or lost it. God said if you'll trust him, he will take you to heaven.
Amen.
For by grace are you saved through faith.
That's right.
And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You say, why? Because when our hope is in man, there is no hope.
Right.
But when Jesus fulfilled everything that God needed him to fulfill, guess what? Our hope is full assurance. And our faith is in him and not in us. You never have to doubt if you're saved, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Oh, I'd love for you to join church, but that doesn't get you saved. You get baptized. It's an act of obedience, but that doesn't take you to heaven. You can get baptized in every church, every creek, every pond, so you know every tadpole by name and still die and go to hell. Getting baptized is just like putting a wedding ring on. People know I'm married because I wear it. If I take it off, I'm still married, aren't I?
Yep.
If I never wore one, I'd still be married. But this lets everybody else know that I am married. That's exactly what baptism is. It's a picture. That's all it is. And you never have to doubt because you can have full assurance of your faith. Number three, and I've got to hurry. Thirdly, Colossians chapter 2. We can have full assurance of understanding. God says we can have full assurance of hope. He says we can have full assurance of faith. And in Colossians chapter 2, verse number 2, the Bible says that their hearts might be comforted being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. This I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Can I tell you something? Obedience, listen to me, obedience is a, or understanding is a byproduct of obedience. You don't get understanding until first you get obedience. Our world today says you understand before you obey. My dad's sitting back there. He just turned 82 this week. When I was a teenager and dad said, take the trash out, that meant stop what you're doing, take the trash out. I didn't have, I had better sense than to say, well, dad, I don't understand. Why do I have to take it out? We would have had a board meeting, and the Board of Education would have been applied to the seat of knowledge. Amen? And I wouldn't have been sitting on it very long because it would have been hurting. He expected obedience. I took the trash out week after week after week, and the smelly maggots in the summer and all that good nasty stuff. Say why? Because he knew one day I'd have a house of my own and I got to get the trash out. So when my boys were growing up, they learned to take the trash out. Now that they're gone, I take the trash out. And my dad doesn't have to call me on Wednesday night and say, you got to take the trash out. You're going to be 54. Take the trash out. No. He taught me as a child to obey, and then I would get understanding. Too many people want understanding before they'll obey. No, you get understanding by obedience. And when we obey God, understanding comes. So, well, preacher, I'd get saved, but it just really doesn't make a whole lot of sense yet. It's not going to till you do it. One of the things that Fred was hung up about, he just couldn't wrap it. I said, Fred, if you'll just obey what God said, it'll start making sense. The moment he did, you talk about the light switch. Dink! That crazy old coot took his oxygen bottle and his long tube and went out passing tracks out, knocking on doors. Every doctor and nurse in the hospital got tracks from him. Every place he went, people were getting tracks, to the point where after he died, Mrs. Lopez works with the lady and was going to witness to her, got all the way through the gospel with her, and she said, I've already done that. She said, you did? She said, yeah, you know Fred and Wally Skaggs? Yeah. She said, they come. I work part-time at a restaurant, and they used to come in here, and he gave me about 14 of these gospel tracks. She said, I did it one day. Say, what is that? Obedience brought understanding. Now, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense at first. But once you do it, it makes sense. You see, understanding is the byproduct of obedience. We humans have tried to make understanding a prerequisite. God says it's a byproduct. The child doesn't need to know why to obey. They just need to learn to obey. They need to learn to obey and not stand there and say, well, I'm not going to do it till you tell me why. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Amen. Wisdom is the byproduct of understanding. Proverbs 10:13, Proverbs 15:32, Proverbs 30 verses 1 through 2. I know a missionary. He and his family moved. They went, I'm not sure if it was South America or Africa. They were in some tropical region. And there were huge pythons and boa constrictors and different things that would hang from the trees. And if an animal would walk by, that python would fall out of the tree on that animal and coil itself around it and kill it. This missionary had trained his children, And he said, look, those snakes are there. If you ever hear dad or mom say, stop, get on your belly, crawl. Don't stand there and ask why, because you're going to get eaten by one of those snakes. Sure enough, day after day, they trained their children. And weeks and months later, he was walking down a trail, and his son was coming behind him. And he turned around, and he saw one of those snakes in the tree right over his son. He said, son, stop. Get on your belly. Crawl backwards. The boy dropped to his belly. Started crawling backwards. He said, now get up and run back home. That boy started running. He got home. His missionary came home. He said, dad, why'd you ask me to do that? He said, son, there was a snake about 3 feet from your head. And had you not done that, you'd have been lunch for that snake and be dead. He put his arms around his son, and he said, thank you for obeying and not asking me why. Because had you stopped to ask me why, I could not put my arms around you today. Can I tell you something? I wonder how many of us would have died. Well, I don't know why you want me to do that, preacher. How about we just obey and learn why later? Here's the problem. Because of our sin, man wants to be God. That's what Satan tempted Adam and Eve with. You could be like gods, knowing good and evil for yourself. You could choose what's right and wrong yourself. So whether you want to be God or let God be God, that's the question. So if you want to let God be God, let's just obey him and we'll figure out the whys later. You may not want, you will not have all the answers to every question in life. I wish I could tell you I have all the answers. I don't. Brother Jimbo can't tell you why you have cancer. Probably because you're mean and ornery, but I can't tell you why. What a good man. I don't know many men as good as a man named Jimbo Wells. I mean that. I don't understand it, Brother Jimbo. But thank God we got technology and the ability to help you.
Right.
I do. I'm thankful for it. I can't always answer every question. But I know someday we shall be like him. And he'll teach us why. I can't answer all the questions. I can't tell you why some babies don't live. I can't tell you why some are born and they die shortly thereafter. I can't tell you why children die or teenagers. Can't tell you why people in their 20s and 30s die what we call young. Some are born and what we call aren't normal, but can I tell you something? I can't answer the whys. But I know if we just obey, God will help us understand someday.
Amen.
You can have full assurance of hope. You can have full assurance of faith. And you can have full assurance of understanding. You may not understand it all here. But someday you will. Someday you will. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I wonder, would you be just honest with yourself and honest with God for a moment? Who would say, preacher, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if I died today, I know 100% sure. I know for sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Thank you for your honesty. You may put them down. There were some that could not go up, and I appreciate that. I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm not asking you to go through some religious exercise or experience. But who would say, preacher, if I died today, I don't know I'd go to heaven, but I sure would like to know that. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who would say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, scores and scores and scores of hands. You may put them down. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, the piano will begin to play. When the piano begins to play, if you raised your hand and said, I don't know for sure, or maybe you should have raised your hand and didn't, we'll take the Bible and show you how you could know for sure. If you raise your hand and say, "Preacher, there's something in that sermon I needed," how about you come and kneel at an old-fashioned altar?